Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
The gang is back together. Susie is real. And I like presents too, here on Stranger Things.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Welcome back to the last episode of Stranger Things Season 3, The Battle of Starcourt, which is a mall, by the way, in case you guys didn't know. I'm Roxy Stryer, and I am not here alone, and thank goodness for that, because you wouldn't like it very much. I have an amazing panel of Stranger Things experts. The person to my left is a sci-fi slash monster. We're going to give her one final shot at it, because you know it's the last episode. Angelica Trey!
Roar!
Okay, best one yet.
Thank you.
It was scary enough, I guess.
Okay, well, I mean, at least there were no claws, right? And it was long enough.
Should we give her some backup, maybe? Like, maybe it's a
maybe all
communi-
of, yeah, it's a
ready on the count of 1, 2, 3.
Roar!
I don't know if it was much better, but I appreciate the effort, guys.
Thank you, guys.
The girl who has been on the panel from day one, she did the OG Stranger Things after show for Netflix. It's Tiana Hobson.
Hello, everybody. Happy to be here. Happy to be talking. And oh, be still my wounded heart.
Yeah, oh. I feel that. Yeah. I feel that. This is a tough one. You were shedding some tears.
Oh, I cried like a baby, and I have the mascara on my sleeve to prove it. Also, I see all you guys in this chat. This chat is popping right now on YouTube.
Whoa.
Like, people have been in here talking for a minute. So, you guys, if you're watching live, please give us your input on how you felt about the episode.
And guess what, viewers? Guess who you can't spoil it for anymore? No, she's not going to get spoiled anymore. I'm so sorry that happened
to
you.
I yelled at them in there, too.
Yeah, well, they deserved that.
Good.
The man,
yes.
The myth, the legend, the guy who knows all things 80s. Ryan Nielsen.
Guys, I got emotional during this episode too. But we made it.
I kept like pointing. So what happened first was that I saw Angelica was crying. And so I went to go nudge Tiana to point and look at Angelica. And then when I went to nudge Tiana, she was bawling. So then I went to go point to say Ryan, and then he was tearing up. And I was like, oh, well, I'm with a bunch of nerds and I love it. So that's what happened.
Heavy. You're heartless.
Yeah.
If you weren't tearing up and emotional, then I don't know what's pumping through your veins right now.
Well, I'm
not tears.
Not going to deny it. But it was a jam-packed episode, and we have a ton to cover today, and we're going to do our very darndest to talk about it all. We got every single individual group from the Bald Eagles to the Scoops Troop, by the way. Shout out.
Shout out.
Scoop it a poop troop. Nope, just adding extra words. Griswold family.
Yeah.
What?
Even though they gave us the name
Scoops
Troop, we still managed to mess it up until right now.
Yeah, well, I'm still messing it up, and I will continue messing it up. We also had an epic time jump and mid-credit scene that we're going to talk about. Plus, don't forget, we're going to do a top three. Today, we're talking about top three Stranger Things surprises for season three. There were definitely more than three, but there were three huge ones that we want to identify. And of course, Ryan's going to tell us about That's So 80s, because we got to know all those 80s references, and some news and gossip from Angelica. So, a jam-packed show, but before we get into any of that, guys, final episode of season three of Stranger Things. What are our thoughts overall? Angelica, did this season live up to all the hype? And was it the best season yet?
Sorry, I couldn't hear you over the crying that I've been doing.
Are you a loud crier?
I am. Yes, yeah, I'm loud crying.
The bad
internally,
crying.
You can't hear it, but it's loud. Yeah, this was a really intense episode. Everything came to a head. Like, this entire season was just nonstop action. It was so, so good. And I prepared a few puns. So it was explosive.
Okay.
What an explosive episode, and sparks were flying for our characters. Thank you. Please laugh.
Oh. Wow. There were some fireworks between a few characters.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh, it's gotten bad. It's gotten bad.
It was lit.
Oh, Tiana, what did you think? Right. Tell me what you thought of the episode,
oh,
quick.
Oh, I don't know how to follow that whole situation right now, but I will say this is the best finale we've had on this series.
Wow.
Even though I'm not positive that I love the outcome of stuff, I think this season in general has given me a new revamping and love of this show that I feel personally lacked in season two.
Well, certainly ballsy, regardless of what it's going to be going forward, and if you lost some of your favorite characters, yeah. It was definitely ballsy. I'll give them that. Ryan, thoughts?
I mean, this was a phenomenal finale. I think I had a few logic issues. I know the whole thing doesn't strictly follow logic, but there were a few minor problems, but overall, by the ending, when Heroes is playing and never-ending story, I was losing it, and I was so satisfied. What an incredible finale.
Good. That's awesome. I'm glad to hear you all were satisfied. I was as well. I thought that if not the best season, the second best season, but pretty much up there with season one, and I even loved season two. To me, this show has not had a crappy season yet,
mm-hmm.
And this definitely, because we know our characters so well at this point, I felt the most invested in this season. So I'm really happy to dive into it. Let's get right down with the mall game planning, guys, because we meet up at the mall, we're at that food court, and we've all got to figure out, okay, what do we know, and what are we going to do? Who are you guys most excited to see interact or reunite? Because we've been kind of separate all season. Who were the people that you were excited to see join together?
I was really excited to see Hopper and Joyce reunite with the kids, because at the end of last episode, we already kind of got the kids reuniting. So, but they were looking for them. So that was a great, right off the top, after Eleven takes that little, I guess, was it a mini Demogorgon? A baby Demogorgon out of her leg, and Hopper just steps on it. What an awesome introduction to those characters.
Well, we have Demogorgons, we have Demidogs, so maybe that's like a Demi-Ant?
Demi-Mouse?
I think it was one of the arms of the Mind Flayer.
Yeah, yeah, but now it's its own entity.
Weren't they calling it Flay or Flayers Flayed? Or something?
Flayed?
The Flayed?
A mini Flayed.
Okay, well, we're allowed to call it whatever we want on the show. Yeah. Any other reunions that we were excited about?
Because you said the one that's like the best one,
He said like four. He was like Joyce and Hopper and the kids.
I mean, it was Hopper and Joyce.
Parents and kids reuniting.
It's all the people.
I will say that I was kind of excited, and I don't think anything really happened, but I was really excited that Murray was back around with Jonathan and Nancy. Mm-hmm. Just because of what happened last season, and I kind of wanted him to make a little nudge of like, oh,
I did that. I'm a matchmaker.
You love birds still together? Because I'm trying to work on these two over here.
Yeah. Angelica?
It felt really good to see Dustin reunite for the main four that we saw. Like, it felt really complete to see them come back together, because they've been separate basically since episode one.
I love that one hug shot. It was really cute of all of them. But what I did not love so much was how long we stayed on Elle's leg situation. This made me feel violently ill inside. You said I have no feelings, Tiana. I do have some, and sick is one of them.
Okay.
This was disgusting.
Gross.
Watching, well, first of all, Ryan, you were wrong. They didn't cut off her leg, so just to be clear. Second of all, when Jonathan went to go get that knife, I thought that he was going to try to burn it out of her because of the heat. He was heating up the knife. He was just sterilizing it.
Yeah, because just like if you have a splinter and you use a needle, you have to burn it over the flame to make it sterile.
A needle?
Never done that.
You don't use tweezers?
Well, no. My mom used to use like a sewing needle when I was a kid to
a splinter out with a needle?
She just would dig with the sewing needle. What they did back in the 80s and stuff, because people didn't really have tweezers.
Go with the tweezers. What do you mean they didn't have tweezers?
I don't know these things. My mom used a sewing needle. Okay, Roxy.
But how does that grab it?
It doesn't grab it. She was digging in my skin to get the needle.
Hey, whatever way you learned how to sterilize, that's impressive.
Whatever it is, this is the perfect way to make it sterile so that if you're in an an event where you have to get something out of someone, you know how to make sure it's operation safe.
What are our thoughts about why getting this thing out of Elle now means that she has no powers? Is it not related and she's just used up her powers? Does it have to do with this getting cut out of her? Is she just still weakened by it, or did it take something from her?
It's got to be related. It has to be related, because when it was still in her, she flipped the car, and after they got out, it was gone. So it was really weird. I didn't realize that there was a living creature in her leg. Last episode, it looked like there was just a virus spreading, but I guess it was taking away her power. Like they said they built it for her. She got bit, and she did lose her powers. I was shocked. When they were trying to get the cable out of the car, I was like, why isn't she just using her powers? And when she didn't have them, that was shocking to me.
Hmm. What about you guys?
It wasn't shocking to me because the chat ruined it.
Oh.
Aww.
No, I'm just joking. Sorry, actually, I'm not joking. They did. But no, it was surprising that she did lose her powers. And I think that they are connected. But she said something to Hopper before he went down. And it was along the lines of, you know, like, I'm tired, but I can re-energize. I can fight. And she went through so much in this season alone and used so much strength and did things that we hadn't seen before that I really think it's going to take more than... It's going to take a little time for her body to fully heal from everything. And she had a weird alien-like creature inside of her. And so I think you just have to give her body time to heal and push all that out of her system.
Angelica, do you think the powers are gone forever?
I think her powers are... I think they've been leached out a little bit by that thing, because it definitely seemed very leech-like. Either that, or maybe she's got some sort of mental block, but it definitely seems related.
The mental block would be a weird one, because so many other things have happened that this feels like it had to have, like you said, leached, literally sucked something away from her. Because when she's standing there staring at that Coca-Cola can, I did feel like crying in that moment. Imagine a part of you being gone, like something that you've relied on like that. I can't even... That was really sad. But we go to break off into groups because we got a job to do. We cannot just hang around and sob over Elle's leg, which now she can just stumble and walk on because apparently people heal very quickly on this show. We have to go do things. So we break off into our groups. And they're pretty much the same groups we've been a part of before this. We've got the Scoops Troop. We've got the Bald Eagles team. And we've got the Griswold family, which I love that we name everybody so finally we can stop making fools of ourselves on the show and just like actually have names. Let's follow the Scoops Troop first, right? Mm-hmm. So they have to go contact Use Cerebro. And at this point, which of you are thinking Susie's going to come into play?
Me.
Because of the chat?
No.
You just
because
knew?
I said it 2 episodes ago. I said by episode 8 we'd meet Susie, but it ended up being 9. But I knew she was coming into play.
What do you mean it ended up being 9?
Or, sorry, we're on 8.
Yeah. You're right the first time.
Yeah, I was like,
don't question yourself.
I did say my episode.
Okay. She called it in the middle of while we were viewing it. She said, oh, they're going to use Susie to get the number. And we were like, what? It was awesome. So you totally called it.
Was she as hot as Phoebe Cates and as smart as, I don't know if we had an analogy for that one, as smart as smart?
Smartest.
Yeah.
I think that she did look like a young Phoebe Cates if Phoebe wore glasses at some point. I think the only correlation is that she had brown hair, but I still think that it's so cute that he describes her that way because Phoebe Cates to him is the hottest woman alive, and he's saying my girl is right up there with the hottest chick right now.
I thought she was adorable. I was so happy she existed. How crappy would it have been if we went through this whole season and there was no Susie? Yeah.
Such a good payoff. I mean,
she went a whole week without hearing from him and still forgave him right away. You're a bigger person than me.
Good job, Susie.
One of the scenes I feel like they could only do on a show like this, and it would not work on other shows, and that's because of the tone that they've built, is this scene with the Never Ending Story song. Because I didn't get annoyed. I didn't want it to fast forward. I wanted to stay in that moment forever. And it felt true to the worlds that they had built. And everybody kind of just rode it out. Did anybody else feel as affected by that scene as I did?
It was a much needed moment of comedic relief in a really heavy episode.
Very true.
This episode was pretty dour, pretty sad, a lot of loss, a lot of goodbyes, and that moment just gave us a chance to breathe, like exhale. So I think it worked both tonally and pace-wise for the show, and also it was just an amazing payoff. This character you mentioned in the title 8 episodes ago, and now she really saves the day.
Yeah, completely. But Erica's not stoked about it. Maybe she just is annoyed. Or Angelica, is she crushing a little bit on Dustin?
I definitely think she's a little jealous.
Yeah, that's what I was feeling.
Yeah, she was like, okay, all right, I'll put up with this, but please stop now, okay? Once they started getting extra mushy, she just turned that baby off.
Tiana with that judgy face. What?
Always judging. This is a judgy face. Guys, everyone was annoyed by that whole thing that happened over the radio.
It was cross-cutting
into people whose lives are in danger. If Steve had been sitting right there, he would have done the same thing too, because you know what? It's really cute. I love the moment. Never heard the song before, being honest. But it was really cute. I'm really here for it. Love them. But in that moment, I think Susie's like, okay, that's enough, because we have to get back to work because our friends are in danger. A monster was chasing them in a car while these two are super safe up on the top of the hill singing love songs to their long-distance lovers.
That's what it took, though.
They already got the number, so they could have kept talking. No, you hang up.
But,
no, you hang up.
But everyone could hear them over the radio, so yeah. It's just like, well, be considerate. You're supposed to be radio silent right now.
Yeah,
just be considerate.
I'm just saying, you could still save the day because she gave out the number, Plank's number.
Exactly.
I just didn't take it as jealousy. I took it more of like, okay, that's enough. Our lives are at stake here.
Ryan, be the tiebreaker. Was Erica into Dustin?
Oh, I think she totally was.
Yeah.
Ryan, I've had your back so many times on this cover. Roxy has come for you.
I mean,
you couldn't have my back once.
They've had this nerd tension. Don't call me a nerd, and she really is a nerd. Like My Little Pony. It's been building to that a little. I think she's a little jealous.
I agree. Tiana, you said if Steve was there, he wouldn't have had it. But he was not there because he was running straight into battle, and Robin followed him. I think this showed a lot of growth for Steve because he, like we talked about before, not only was he losing fights a lot, but he kind of thought about himself first. And now he is not even thinking. He is running right back into where this massive monster is. Do you guys think he is one of the most improved characters or has had one of the biggest story arcs, has grown the most of any of our people?
He's gone through one of the most significant arcs, for sure. I think, you know, at the end of season two, when he becomes friends with Dustin, he's giving out suggestions for how he can maybe, like, pick up a girl or something. We got hints of him changing. I think he was in a major transitional phase, but from the beginning of this season, even episode one, I did say that he has to get away from all the surface level stuff. He's got to start like looking for inner meaning. And I think when last episode, when he was talking to Robin and then they immediately become friends, I think that was the start of this crash. Now he's different. He'll drive right into another car to save one of these friends. So he's definitely gone through a significant arc.
You guys agree? One of the biggest?
Yes, one of the biggest. But I also think that he's never been afraid of battle, even from season one. He's always been right there by their sides, even though he was a little douchier. He still is right there swinging his bat and, you know, taking names later.
I agree. But I also think his biggest, like, most significant change was between season one and two. Honestly, I think this season was just sort of solidifying his character. He didn't even show up to say goodbye. Anyone have an issue with that?
Yeah, I definitely did. I had a little bit of an issue because I know you want to sneak in there and give Nancy a big old fat kiss.
Wow.
Because you're in love.
Or he's just waiting because Nancy's boyfriend's gone, so now he has her all to himself, Roxy.
Ooh.
He doesn't need to be there to watch him go. They weren't friends.
Good point.
That's true.
Steve wasn't friends with the Byers family.
Bye.
Pretty much
Byers. Bye. Did you guys hear my pun or no?
I did. No, we all.
Yeah, you made it pretty obvious.
Yeah, we all heard it.
Byers.
Byers.
Should I do it again?
Yeah.
Byers.
I'm sorry,
nope,
I didn't hear that.
It's just not catching on. Let's go over to the bald eagles. Love this little bald shot at him. Too funny, making him repeat it over and over again. I'm sorry, can you come in one more time? The what? I absolutely adore this. And I love pairing the adults together to do what the kids have been doing, which is crawling through the small things and on the walkie-talkies. They look like big kids in this moment. And we get our Joyce, oh, it's so painful to say, we get our Joyce Hopper moment. They're right down there. They are discussing very loudly still, Tiana. These people clearly don't know how to be quiet. They're discussing their date. And Joyce finally says, okay, 7 o'clock, we're going to meet. And
nope, Friday. He's picking her up.
Yeah, sorry, you're going to pick me up. It's going to be on Friday. And this is an official date. They clarify date. At what point does this sink into you guys? Uh-oh. Well, now that we have a date, somebody's going to get hurt.
That's when I first cried during this episode. You guys didn't see it, but that's when I first teared up, is during this conversation.
You could have spoiled it for us indirectly.
You guys were all talking, and I was like, I know what's about to go down now.
Oh,
and
no.
That's when I broke down and started crying.
Because you knew.
Well, I didn't know, because thankfully Stephen Lemieux here told me that what the chat had told me was wrong. So I was kind of thinking, okay, they were just being jerks and saying ridiculous things. But during this conversation, because they made a definite plan and he was finally into it, I was like, oh, crap, now they're not going to get a happy ending.
Do you guys wish, now looking back, that they kissed Angelica?
I would have liked a kiss, but I honestly didn't really ship them that hard.
Whoa.
I mean, is it too late to kick her off the panel?
I liked them, but I felt like Joyce was doing her own thing, and I respected that. And then I think Hopper still needed to grow a lot. But I did like them together.
Right.
I like their
dynamic. Wish they had one big smooch.
Yeah, that was a top three ship for us, episode one for them. But I think I wish they kissed. I think in the moment, realistically, it didn't make sense for, like, the narrative, if we're being honest. Like, I don't think that would have made narrative sense. It would have been a little cheesy, but I wish we saw it.
The elevator is when it should have happened.
Great point.
Yeah.
Not during that conversation, the elevator when they're fighting and they're getting closer and closer, and I was just sitting there with my tongue making a make-out face like,
There's somebody else in the elevator with them.
I don't care. It's he already knew awkward. It was coming, too.
Yeah, but what are you going to do? Just, like, suck face in front of another...
I mean, it didn't have to be for forever. It was a very quick elevator ride. I'm just saying.
He's been egging them on.
Yeah, that's true. But
it would have been weird. Yeah.
Yeah, it would have been really weird.
Ultimately, what ends up happening, we got to get this key situation down. We do. We're ready to go. Hopper's got his. Joyce has got hers. Guys, you know what we should do right now? Why don't we count to three?
Oh.
Why don't we count to three?
Enter Terminator.
Three painful long seconds.
Are you for real,
bro? And let's take a lot of time in between numbers as we're going down. If I say let's do it on three, I'm going to be like, okay, let's do it on three.
One,
three.
Two, three. Yeah.
Or three? Just immediately?
But immediately.
Obviously, we don't get to three because Terminator comes in and he's got Hopper and he's about to give him a serious haircut. That
crazy
whatever
fight scene.
You
that was a really
that.
Good fight scene too.
Yeah, it was pretty epic. I'm surprised how well Hopper is able to stand up to the Terminator, considering Hopper is a alcoholic cop who eats a ton of cake, and the Terminator is like yoked and ready, like that is his whole life. And Hopper gets some good blows in there.
He's got the size on him, so I bought it. And Hopper is trained. I know he's a little slower because of all the reasons you just listed, but I mean, I was into it. I think that was a really awesome dynamic this entire season, like them squaring off. And also Hopper has fought him, I think, twice at this point.
Right.
So this third final climactic fight, and he didn't really win. He got like a cheap shot on him by the end. So the Terminator was beating him.
You're saying who didn't really win?
I said Hopper didn't really beat him. He got like in a full-on fist fight. He was taking some cheap shots.
I would say that Hopper certainly won that one, because when you throw somebody's body into a moving blade and they go bye-bye, I think you win.
Okay.
Right?
Fair enough.
Kind of like who win, you know, who gets the knockout.
Yeah.
That was a definite knockout.
Okay.
Actually, you're right. Nobody wins because Hopper doesn't end up so well either. Joyce has a really tough decision to make. Were you guys at ever any point questioning whether or not she would go through with this while Hopper was on that other side?
There was no doubt in my mind that she was not going to turn that key.
Because
as a mom and knowing the kids are up there and that everyone's in danger, she wasn't going to let that stand in the way, and Hopper wasn't going to let it stand in the way either.
And he nodded.
Yeah.
He was like, do it.
He approved. What was the other option?
Don't close it and the kids die.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, Joyce has shown that she is consistently first and foremost a mother this entire season, and then she finally lets her guard down a little bit. But I mean, we had a bit of a tip off, right, with our boy Hopper saying, I'll see you in hell, and we're like, okay.
Yeah.
You're gonna, sooner than we thought.
I got Captain America vibes at the end of his first movie where he has to put the plane in the water and they don't get that last dance. They don't get that date.
Yeah, absolutely. So what you're trying to say is Hopper's going to come back a very old man at some point?
I am definitely trying to say that.
I like this twist.
Yeah, maybe. we'll see. But something that Ryan and I have in common is, as viewers, if you don't see a body, then you don't know what happened. It seems like, Angelica, you are on the opposite side of that fence.
I mean, how much time was there between her turning the key? You know what I'm saying? Like, there wasn't a lot of time. I'm pretty sure he died and got disintegrated with everybody.
No body, no crime. Like, 100%. That's court of law
but, like,
right there.
It disintegrated everybody.
You don't
know
that.
There's no dust either.
We saw people further away get disintegrated.
I think...
No, we didn't.
You know,
I don't believe you.
We did. We saw a bunch of Russian guards. I'm just...
At the end of season one, we thought Eleven got disintegrated, and then he started putting Eggo waffles out, and she came back. I think he got sucked into the Upside Down.
Whoa, do you think Eleven's going to start putting Eggo waffles out?
Oh,
that would be fun.
I don't think that would do anything for this situation.
No.
She might.
That was so sad.
That was really sad.
Her face when she finds out. Oh, I can't get that out of my...
Millie Bobby Brown.
So good.
A star.
She's a star. She's an actual star.
An Oscar for this, and I know it's not even
Emmy
possible for her. But no, I mean, yes, the Emmy, but she deserves an Oscar for this, okay?
I have a feeling she'll get an Oscar down the line for something else.
For something
she'll
else,
be perfectly fine, something
she's
tells me.
So yeah.
She has a long career ahead of her. She is very, very talented, but all of the kids on this show seem to be. It's kind of wild because you've got such well-versed adult actors that have been at this for an incredibly long time between David Harbour and Winona Ryder. That's a ridiculous cast.
All star.
The fact that the kids hold their own, really impressive. So I love the Bald Eagle storyline. It broke my heart also when Murray comes down and says, "Jim, where's Jim?" But it's also like, bro, you don't see him, don't ask. What do you think she just forgot? You think Joy's going to turn to you and be like, oh, yeah, Jim, he's in the back. Like,
Jim got in the car, though, and asked about Alexi.
I know, and that was stupid, too. Just if you don't see the person, they're dead. Just assume that.
He was in the moment. He was concerned.
Honestly, I think that is one of his only friends. He doesn't keep a lot of people around him because he's paranoid about the government listening and all that stuff.
The Russians.
So to have Jim there, Jim is one person that he truly trusts and is one of his only friends. So.
Low-key, he has a right to be paranoid. And we find that out because let's go over to Griswold family. These are the ones that were supposed to get out of here real quick. You know, these are the ones we were supposed to worry about the least. They're going to get in the car. They're going to go. They're going to wait it out. They're going to chill. No worries. That plan goes right out the window by the time they get to the car.
Missing a cable.
Yeah. Well, where is that cable? Billy? Ryan?
They were missing the flux capacitor.
That's a great reference.
Oh, wow.
Great reference. That's so 80s, baby.
That went
so
over 80s. My head. Yeah. I mean, that was an interesting way to go around that. Like, I don't know why you didn't just slash the tires.
Because I think they would have noticed, and this is all about mind games at this point, too.
It's mind games.
We want them to think that they can drive away.
I love that side of the story, and true horror elements, where they're all hiding behind different parts of the courtyard.
Which is what was in the trailer, and I was waiting for all season. Them behind the car. Mm-hmm. I kept waiting for those moments.
I stayed away from
you. You finally got them.
Yeah, well, I definitely did. and a lot of Gap. Guys, how much did Gap pay for this?
Gap, man.
Gap making big appearances in this episode.
Also, Orange Julius.
Oh,
shout out. Miss you.
Very true.
is it around still?
She said miss you.
I had it as a kid, but I don't remember it anymore. I've never seen an Orange Julius.
Where are you
since.
At, Orange Julius?
Come on.
I love immediately. I see Brianna Phipps in the booth. I see her immediately trying to find Orange Julius for you. She is on it.
Yes,
right now. Thank you to our producer, Bree.
Thank you.
Let us know.
Do you guys buy her being able to walk after taking a creature out of her leg?
No, I already said that,
Ryan. She was limping, and most of the time had to support people.
Maybe that's where all her powers went, to help her walk.
No, I don't buy it.
I don't buy that.
I don't buy it. How many times can I do it?
You already used that one.
Oh.
Awkward.
Well,
but guys, she always had at least one person, sometimes two, helping her as their crutches to
That's true.
Hobble along.
And it didn't seem to matter, though, who was by her side, because when Billy finds the people that are helping her, he takes them and he destroys them. He takes his sister and he bangs her into the wall so hard that I thought she was going to be dead. That was crazy. And same thing with Mike. And then he takes Elle, who has no powers left, and he slings her over his shoulder like a rag doll.
Yeah.
And walks right out. Did any of you think that Max was going to have the ability to get Billy to snap out of it? Or did you all know that he was going to be able to just toss them?
Well, so here's something really interesting. I mean, I did think he'd be able to toss them because we saw him do that to 11.
But not to Max.
Not to Max. Yeah, I mean, he was just so... I think that the monster was just so in his head at that point.
Yeah.
And, but, I mean, they get to him later, and I'm just realizing this now, when 11's with Billy, was she using powers?
What do you mean?
To bring up, mentioning things about his mom.
No, she was having...
That's just what she remembers?
She saw that. Yeah. She was having flashbacks.
It was flashbacks.
Yeah.
I mean, we saw Max previously snap him out of it a little bit in the sauna test.
Right.
However, this time Max was sort of panicked and she just started shouting their address, and I don't think that's going to resonate with Billy too much, right?
Well, clearly it didn't.
No.
Clearly it didn't.
Maybe she should have given his California address.
Ooh, okay.
Instead of his Hawkins.
Well, she was not thinking about that in that moment, and I don't know if she remembers that, Tiana. Yeah.
I mean, I know. But
probably
I'm saying
not.
It was the California connection that made it happen.
At this point, we are taking Elle, we're laying her on the floor. It's the same situation that we did with Heather and then Tom and Janet and everybody else we've seen go down this route. This feels so, for lack of better words, and I'm sorry, it's so rapey. Like the way that he lays her down, don't move, lay there, stay quiet, like somebody's about to take your body. This is an assault that we're about to watch. And it, for that reason, it is so hard for me to watch this because it just feels like such an invasion of a person's privacy, not to mention a young minor woman who is laying down there now. Like, of all of them so far, this one was by far and away, and maybe it's because we know Elle the best, I had to look away. I felt sick watching this. Stay there, be quiet, don't move, it will be over soon, all of those words. Oh, did that affect you guys in the same way?
I definitely had those feelings the first time he did that with Heather. I was definitely feeling, whoa, what's going on? This feels really creepy. And I was imagining what it would be like if I woke up like Heather had in that moment. However, I think by the finale, I was sort of used to it and I knew it was going to happen. However, it was very creepy.
Yeah, now that you say it like that, I see it, but I didn't think it like that as I was watching.
Yeah, it was really disturbing. That was, in a really epic moment, that was terrifying. And I think you felt the most scared for Elle we felt yet in all three seasons.
Absolutely, because I started to question in my mind, okay, what if she dies?
She's legit powerless.
She's powerless. What if she dies? How does the show move forward? Does somebody else get powers? We met all those people in season 2, episode 7, the episode that should not be named. But what is going to happen? I really felt like there was a possibility for the first time on this show that she was going to die in this moment.
It was horrifying.
Yeah, really scary. She was able to get through to him, though. And Billy ultimately ends up saving the day. Is Billy now redeemed because of this? When we look back at him, will we think of him as a good character?
I think so.
I think it's a good character through, like, writing purposes, right? Like, an arc here. Because Billy was sort of gray area. You know, he was battling those inner demons. He was trying to sort of find his own way in this new town. And he got overtaken. You know, that's not necessarily his fault, right? But, you know, obviously he'd made some bad decisions. Then we find out maybe it was from his past a little bit, you know? It made it a little more, I guess, relatable, for lack of better terms.
Right. T?
I mean, I don't think that I still would remember him as a good person.
Right.
Because he's still an asshole for the majority of his life. But in that final sequence, yes, I do think that he went out as a hero, as opposed to an asshole. But in memory, most of my memories are still going to be Billy the ass.
You didn't cry?
I didn't cry at Billy.
Aww.
I cried when Max went to Billy, but I didn't cry at Billy.
I actually cried during the Billy scene. I was like, oh my
gosh.
There
was a lot going on, because not just that, but all of our people were trying to help. The fireworks and the fact that they released this on the 4th of July, too, just so smart. That's how we ended up.
The fireworks were, that was such a cool sequence, just them chucking fireworks at this giant monster, and it's like,
I mean, visually speaking, this episode was pretty perfect.
Yeah.
That monster looked like a big budget movie monster, better than a lot of big budget movies. I thought it looked phenomenal. Even when we were outside of the mall at the end, and Joyce is hugging Will, and Elle comes out and realizes just the way it's shot was so visually stunning. Yes. It really was. I forgot to mention, just wanted to go back and give a little shout out to my boy Steve, who saved Nancy's life. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Steve. You drive that car right into whoever you have to, because Nancy will be yours one day. You guys feel me?
I do feel you.
You don't feel me.
I'm down for it. You know?
You really don't feel me.
I'll see it.
It's fine.
He's over her.
And the mind flayer kills Billy. Billy gets taken, and now we have to do everything we can to kill the mind flayer. It was still confusing to me again. I feel like I say that every episode, but why when we turn the key and we close the door to the upside down, why the mind flayer dies? I don't know. Cut off his blood supply, essentially.
I want to ask the chat about, too, because we didn't rewind it, but Dustin, in the beginning, they talked this whole thing through and why it's necessary, but they said so much and so fast that I didn't pick up on every little detail, but I'm pretty sure in there he said something along the lines of closing it off was, like, how part of it was being powered.
They said that, and then they said cut off his head.
Yeah, to make sure it's actually dead.
But did we get to cut off his head?
I don't know that we actually saw them do it. Because I didn't see that. But we're assuming that they did, because Owens finally showed up, and so he kind of took over.
I figured this would weaken him, and then we cut off the head, but we didn't get to cut off the head.
True. I mean, was it figurative or literal?
I don't know. And also, T, way to mention Owens just now, because you're really late.
He's like, really? And I want to know what he got paid, because he didn't say a darn thing. He just showed up and stood there.
Yeah, he stared. It was a really long scene, too. It was just kind of like,
and it was one of those 5 seconds. Yeah, it was one of those things that, why did we bring him up in such a mysterious way to not have anything really happen with that?
Zero idea.
It was a little bit of a letdown for me just in that moment, but I like that we got to see them handle the whole situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then, you know, in case you missed any of this, they have a fast-forward 3 months where they describe everything that happened to you in 30 seconds in a news piece that we never end up mentioning again. Fine, sure. I love a good recap, because trust me, I missed something. I was like, oh, thank you, Stranger Things, for recapping that all in one very quick story. Really appreciate that, but when we fast-forward, we find out...
Sorry, I was going to say, for that news story, did it sound like Murray to anyone else?
It kind of sounded like Murray.
Because I thought they were going
to
cut to it and Murray had a new job on the news as like the crazy like conspiracy theorist person who's out there talking about all the supernatural things that are happening in the world.
Because they would have showed us if it was him, I feel like, T.
Probably.
Yeah,
but I felt the same way. His voice did sound like it. But we do fast forward, and I was surprised to see... I'm surprised every time. Joyce going through with it. She's moving out. She's moving out. She might have stayed for Hopper. Hopper is dead. Oh. Or is he? But for what we know, Hopper is dead. Mm-hmm. So Joyce is leaving. And just as I thought, it seems like Joyce has now somewhat, at least surrogately, adopted Elle.
Right.
Because she is leaving with them. Now, my initial thought was, why doesn't Elle stay with Mike? But that seems like a recipe for disaster, right? To grow up with the person that you're making out with?
Mike's parents just are too clueless as to what's actually happening in this town for Elle to be in their care, because she is a special child who's going to need special attention because she doesn't have them anymore, but she might get them back. You don't know. And Joyce just is more understanding to all of those things and more open to it. So that's the better place to go.
Angelica, when we see 3 months later and then we see Elle trying to get the bear down, did you think her powers were going to be back by this point?
I was hoping that maybe we would get like a little mini, Magneto moment where it shakes a little bit at least.
That's what I thought too.
Yeah, I was hoping, I was fingers crossing there, like maybe her powers were some sort of atrophied muscle and she just had to work them out for a bit, but...
But no.
No.
That's not what we got.
Nope.
And I wonder why, and if we will ultimately get that moment, or if this is the dawning of a new era.
We had
a lot of goodbyes to say, though, Ryan. Which one were you the most invested in of all of the goodbyes?
I honestly, I know you're not going to agree with this, but the Nancy Jonathan goodbye really...
How'd you know I wouldn't
that was
agree?
Well, that was really well done. I thought that was beautifully filmed. They held on those two for a while. I mean, that was just a beautiful scene that I think like a lot of people can relate to. And then also, on top of that, you know, when she read Hopper's letter... That was very long. I don't know if he included all that on the page.
But why would he, if he didn't know he was going to die, why would he just start talking about life and pain and all this stuff that had nothing to do with him and her and Mike?
I think it's one of those things where when you start writing something and then you get way off course. I think he just sat down with a pen and paper, started writing things down, and then... expressed all of the feelings, and
that's what I was thinking. He's been holding back his emotions for so long, he just let the floodgates open.
I was into it. I bought it. It was a little bit of like a Hollywood moment, but they earned it.
Tiana, what was the biggest goodbye for you?
Okay, so it wasn't even a goodbye moment, but did anyone else watch Will's face as they were standing outside the car?
He was crying. No, that is a goodbye.
That kid was crying hysterically, shaking, crying. Mm-hmm. And that to me, I mean, blame it on my PTSD because my best friend moved away in the second grade. And that was me on the last day of school. I was like shaking, crying. So seeing that over again, that's when I really lost it.
And he's got to get rid of his Dungeons and Dragons. It's a very emotional moment.
He's growing up.
What was the biggest one for you, Angela?
Well, I kind of pinpointed a little bit on Joyce's face because it was just really awkward the whole time. She's like, I'm causing this. But it was definitely seeing, I think, just watching Mike and Elle say goodbye.
100% mine, too. Yeah. You guys are crazy for having different ones at all.
Well, that was the obvious one, Roxy. I'm not going to go with the... Okay, yes, that definitely affected me. I don't need to say it out loud. I'm going to go with the other ones.
Elle says, I love you, too, and I lost it.
And incredible.
They managed awkwardness where Mike was trying to play it cool, too, but it was so meaningful. Like, there was a lot of undercurrents there, I think.
And finally, for the first time, I felt okay when they kissed. I have to say, I have never felt older than when I watch this show, and I'm like, oh, stop it. Get away from... Don't do that, children. But now, finally, it was like a cute goodbye kiss, and I was... They weren't, like, sitting on her bed or anything. I was okay with it. It was a nice... pleasant little goodbye kiss.
It was real.
I'm curious from you guys in the chat or later on if you're on iTunes, YouTube, let us know what was the most meaningful goodbye to you. Are you on our team or do you guys want to be with Tiana and Ryan and pick the random
ones? Don't try and turn this chat against me, Roxy, because I have the magic fingers and I can make them turn against you if I want.
Go ahead. Let's see how that
goes.
They're
bonded. Speaking of the chat, I do want to give a couple shout outs. We've had some really great comments in here tonight. Jeremiah Brown said, David Harbour said before the season came out that episode 8 blew him away. Sly bastard, LOL.
So good.
Which I thought was good. Jenna James says, Susie killed Hopper and Billy. Don't at me. If she didn't delay them by 2 minutes, Hopper and Joyce could have turned the key.
Oh my gosh.
She's spicy. Jenna is spicy, and I love it.
I mean, that's not wrong.
Yeah.
Not wrong.
Cherwell says that Joyce will be the first person to figure out Hop is still alive. And this was an interesting one. Art Master Austin Prophet said, panel, do you think it's possible Hopper was sent to the past or the future due to the heavy Back to the Future references?
Wow, that would be a crazy twist for the show because we definitely have not seen anything like that. But if they're going to be an upside down, then there definitely can be a teleportation device, right? So I wouldn't rule anything out. Just the last thing really quick before we get to that mid-credits, in case you guys didn't watch it. Yeah, let's pause this and go watch the mid credits. Yes. But Erica, she's gifted all of the nerd stuff. We boxed everything up and she gets it. I thought that was a really cute way to wrap up her nerdness.
And I think it kind of welcomes her to the group.
She's now old enough, you know? Yeah. And by the next season, you're going to be...
Maybe 12. Maybe if they ever get together for a game, she can take Will the Wise's spot in their clan or whatever it's called. I don't know.
Very true.
Yeah, and I also really liked Steve and Robin's friendship and the video store trying to get jobs there. Like, we come as a package deal.
I love that also. Yeah. And she's like, he can get chicks, trust me. And it's like, well, can he? Because we just watched him at the ice cream shop and that didn't work out.
Well, she just had to fool the guy at the front desk.
Yeah, that's true. And she did that, so that will be fun to watch next season. Also, we got this mid-credit scene. We went to Russia, and it was weird.
Russia.
We were not doing good things in Russia. We're about to take the American. We decide to take the Russian instead, and then we feed him to a Demogorgon. What season is this?
Crazy.
I mean, maybe we are going back to the future. Back to the past to come to the future. I don't know what's happening anymore.
So questions are, who's the American? How did they get the Demogorgon to come in there? What's going on?
Obviously, in our mind, we're supposed to be thinking, is Hopper the American? Because he's the only American that we don't have current placement of.
And it's right. What the Russians kept referring to him specifically as.
The American.
The American. Oh, I found the American. The American. It was plastered into our heads, and we didn't see a body. And what we know through sci-fi especially is that if you do not see a body, do not assume anything.
Did you hear that, Angelica, sci-fi queen?
I'm just trying to figure out the timeline here. It seemed really fast when she turned those keys.
Okay, well, miracles can happen. Do you believe?
I mean,
do you want a place on this panel?
I'm not going to be mad if they bring him back out,
because maybe his body was like teleported because of the explosion of everything and all that energy surge and stuff. Maybe his body was transferred somewhere else, and then that's how the Russians got him.
I'm concerned that he was sucked into the underground, upside down, and that we have to go get him.
But is that a fate worse than death?
Possibly.
At that point, yeah. Upside down's pretty creepy.
I don't know, but other than that question, obviously, like we talked about, where did this Demogorgon come from? When did this Demogorgon come from? Did the Russians already have him / her?
I think they.
I don't want to be judgmental.
I think they opened the door. I think they got into the Upside Down in Russia, and I think that's how they got the Demogorgon. I also think the American possibly could be Murray. Because Murray, when the U.S. government is coming through, he's like, we're Americans, we're Americans, we're Americans. And they do say that.
But then why wouldn't they have Joyce?
That's a good question. I think Joyce, like we said all along, she's just kind of in this bystander, whereas, you know, he speaks Russian. I don't think people have ever been after Joyce in the Russian group. And, I mean, Hopper also could have gone through. I think they even hint at that where he says, keep the door open 3 inches. That could be referencing the door to the Upside Down.
Wow.
There's a theory out there, too, in our chat from Jonathan Shaw that said it could be either Hopper or Dr. Brenner from season 1.
Interesting.
Ooh. Okay. And I've seen that a couple times throughout the mentioning here in the chat. Yeah.
What a wild episode it was. Yeah. Don't worry, though. We're not leaving you yet because I know we need to ease out of this process. It's been a lot for all of us. We still have amazing segments right now that we're going to go over right now. Top 3 surprises of Stranger Things Season 3. So the 3 biggest surprises. Oh my gosh, guys, there was a ton. There were some honorable mentions for sure, but we're going to just give it to you straight. The 3rd biggest surprise of all Stranger Things Season 3 was that Robin's a lesbian.
Yes.
It came out of seemingly left field and was one of the best twists that this show has done in a long time.
And even more than that, it's the show acknowledging an LGBT character in the 80s.
In the 80s. Mm-hmm. And not only the show acknowledging it, but her friend being chill with it, which was really great to see. Not all friendships have to turn into relationships, despite what this show has taught us so far. So that was a big surprise. Number 2 on this list. I hope you guys are guessing these at home. Can you guess what number 2 is going to be? That Billy ends up saving Elle. Billy's been a bad guy for the entire time he's been on this show, and this season was next level. If his sister couldn't get to him, I thought Elle was a goner. But he actually ends up putting his body in front of hers to protect her. Massive surprise to me.
Yes.
Incredible. I don't think any of you guys saw this coming.
Nope. No. And it was beautiful.
Yeah, it was absolutely. And he went down for it. Absolutely down. But number one, the biggest surprise. Oh, God. Usually the word surprise is a good thing, but this one, I don't know. Hopper's death. Hopper's death. I did not see that coming. He is a main character on this show. He's one of the biggest stars on this show. He is involved in every single aspect with every single character. He's Eleven's father.
Oh.
Yeah.
And he's dead.
Gone.
Well, so we don't know.
Or
yeah.
So we think.
So we think
so
for
that
now.
That is the biggest surprise. And not only that he's dead, but that Joyce is the one who put the nail in the coffin.
Heartbreaking.
Shot through the heart.
Three biggest surprises, guys.
And you're to blame.
Yeah. Joyce, you give love a bad name.
Come on, Sue. Yeah.
There you go.
Also, moral of the story, don't date Joyce or you end up dead.
That's what the chat's been saying, honestly, since episode one of this season is like, no, don't get with Joyce because clearly she has the kiss of death.
Yeah.
Because everyone who gets close to her.
So you're maybe right. It shouldn't have been that big of a surprise to us. We've seen it happen before, but those were your three biggest surprises. And now it's time for That's So 80s with Ryan Nelson.
Oh, predictions.
Whoa. Well, it's kind of...
Yeah, I kind of like it together.
We're predicting that we're about to do 80s stuff.
That's exactly right.
I just predicted that, and I was right.
You guys, what an amazing season for 80s references throughout this entire show. Mm-hmm. I think right off the bat, Elle's leg, that was right out of Alien. Getting a little creature taken out of your body, and she pulled it out with her powers straight out of Alien. Awesome reference there. The Griswold car.
Yes.
Griswold Family Vacation. I love the vacation movies. What an awesome code name for them. And that was absolutely the same car that they used for those vacation movies. Terminator 2. Not an 80s movie, but 80s franchise. That when the Russian was fighting Hopper, he got smacked across the head and he had a scar in the exact same spot that Arnold Schwarzenegger had a scar in Terminator 2. Ooh. That was an absolute Judgment Day reference. Fast Times at Ridgemont High, standee at the very end when he's applying to work at that arcade place. That was another standee reference. Jurassic Park, another 90s movie, but when they're fighting that gigantic monster in the mall, that reminded me of the dinosaur in the center of that building in Jurassic Park. Great Spielberg reference, Dino in the courtyard. Never ending story. Come on, guys.
Come on.
One of the best moments, maybe in TV history, quite frankly. They so earned that, and they sang, like, the entire song. So that was awesome.
Remember when Max and Lucas ended up making fun of them for doing it, too?
Oh,
yeah.
So sweet.
Are they together? I'm going to assume Lucas and Max are back together.
Of course they got back together.
They were harmonizing.
That's what that means.
You can't harmonize unless you're dating.
Careful who you harmonize with, because you know what that leads to.
Mm-hmm. Die Hard. Murray was in the air ducts this time around, and he even says the quote, oh yeah, we're gonna get back together, have a few laughs. That is a quote John McClane says in Die Hard. Ooh. Also in the air ducts. And last but not least, our fallen Hopper says, I'll see you in hell. Han Solo, Empire Strikes Back. Those were your 80s moments.
That's So 80s with Ryan Nelson. Thank you for doing that all season and for being our favorite 90s 80s boy.
And I love that instead of dropping a mic, he pushed his notepad away. Yeah. Like, that was his drop the mic.
Well, you know what? That's what you do in the 80s.
Yeah.
Put your notebook away. Now it's time for some news and gossip. What do you got for us, Angelica?
Yeah. Time for some news. So according to USA Today, the giant gooey monster throughout this entire season, they actually represented it or portrayed it during filming as a giant beach ball on a stick. So the Duffer Brothers...
Castaway.
Exactly, yep. But it was so silly looking, right, that the Duffer Brothers had to regularly remind the kids to not laugh and to pretend to be scared by this thing. What do you guys think? Could you pretend to be scared at a giant beach ball in your face?
I think so, but I'm also an adult who's been taking acting classes since I was 3. I already was impressed with these child actors. I'm now 10 times more impressed because at that age, no, I don't think I would have been able to do that.
No.
I think I would have been laughing the whole time. I mean, come on, that's ridiculous.
Were they making noises too, is what I want to know. It's just like, and then there's like a beach ball.
Hopefully you're not making the noises.
Yeah, and imagine them like Elle standing there when the two arms are coming at her from both sides, and it's like a beach ball and a beach ball. She's like, You know?
I cannot say it enough. I wish you guys watched what Tiana and I watched season one. Effects were not done. It makes you feel so grateful for the VFX people.
I appreciate it.
Oh, yes. My God. They're so talented. That whole monster does not exist. None of the monsters exist. None. They're beach balls. They're freaking beach balls on sticks.
Balls. Yep.
That's
yeah.
crazy. I love that.
Shout out to the CG people.
Okay.
I'd love to see the blooper reel.
Oh, yes.
With just the beach ball.
Well, the good news is that you'll definitely be seeing more of this show because we will have a Stranger Things season 4. And hopefully we'll be here talking to you guys about that shortly. Sometimes they wait a year. Sometimes they wait a year and a half. So I don't know when that will be. But we will be back covering that for you. Oh, my God. I don't want to leave right now. But that's okay because we can keep the conversation going by talking to each other via Twitter. Angelica, where can the people find you?
The people can find me on most social media, AYYTRAE, and Instagram at Angelica Trey.
And you can find me at the Tiana Hobson on Instagram and Twitter. Thank you so much to everyone in our live chat on YouTube. It has been an absolute honor to be your chat mistress this season.
Oh, Ryan.
Oh, my gosh. You guys can find me at Ryan's Nelson on Twitter and Instagram. And this was just awesome, you guys. It was a pleasure to be on this panel with you. I really loved being here.
That's really sweet, yes. Ryan. Yeah. You guys can find me at Roxy Stryer. You can find us at AfterBuzz TV. Don't forget, we want to keep this conversation going. So iTunes, YouTube, rate, comment, subscribe. I'm going to check back in a month and 6 months and a year because I need you guys. Thank you to Brianna Phipps in the booth for producing this amazing show. We love you guys and we'll see you for Stranger Things season 4.
Thanks, guys.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.